A week ago Friday, I finally got around to it. Mandy had been suggesting I do it for some time, but I always seem to kind of put it on the back burner. I'm talking about sorting out my closet. I'd recently bought some new jeans, and for some reason, Mandy thought I should do away with the old jeans that I just didn't wear anymore. But I'd always been a little bit reluctant. I mean, who knows whether one day those old jeans might come in handy. Maybe I should just hang on to them just in case. But a week ago Friday, I decided to take action. Decided that it was time for me to make a decision. What was I going to keep and what was I going to throw away? And much to Mandy's delight, when she came home at the end of the workday, there was a pile ready for the garbage. Now, as I was reflecting on our passage from Joshua earlier this week, it became clear to me that when it came to the people of Israel, there were things among them that needed to be thrown in the garbage. I want us to spend some time with that reading, reflecting what it said about the people of Israel, but even more importantly, what God might be saying to us as we continue on our discipleship journey. I want to title the sermon today, "It's Time to Clean Out the Closet." Our Old Testament reading comes from the last chapter of the book of Joshua. And for all intents and purposes, it comes at the end of what's been an incredible journey that we've taken with the people of Israel for the past number of months. Today is going to be the last time in quite a while that we'll be taking this almost like step-by-step journey along with them. It's been quite a journey, hasn't it? Way back in March, we heard the story of the calling of Abram, a man whom God called to leave the land of his ancestors and go to the land that God would one day show him. It was a call to incredible faith. And if you remember back then when we heard that reading, I talked about how up to that point, there's no indication that Abram even had any ongoing relationship with God prior to that calling. And yet, God said go, and Abram went. And along with the call came also a promise that Abram would be the father of many nations. Now that promise itself may have been the clinching factor to Abram in responding to what God had said, because he had been longing for children. I've talked about many times before how back in those days, the sign of children was a sign of blessing from God. Now, Abram and his wife, they were getting on in age, and yet they had no children. And I've talked before about how that name Abram would almost have been like, anytime he heard that name, it would almost be like rubbing salt in the wound, because Abram meant the exalted father. Well, with the promise of descendants also came a name change. Abram to Abraham. Abraham meaning the father of many. So Abraham, he left. He left the land of his ancestors and he went towards what would be the land of his descendants. And that would one day become the land of Canaan. Back in March, we left that story for a while, and then we came back to the story in early in the summertime. We heard about the marriage of Abraham's son Isaac to Rebecca. We heard about their two children, Jacob and Esau, and two brothers who seemed to be in constant conflict. We heard about the story of Jacob wrestling one night with God. And then we heard about Jacob's sons, who out of jealousy sold their brother Joseph into slavery. And that eventually Joseph would end up in Egypt. We heard that's how the people of Israel ended up in the land of Egypt. At first, they were honored guests, and then over time, over some 400 years, they went from being honored guests to becoming mistreated slaves. As the story continued, we heard about Moses, the son of one of the Hebrew slaves, who came to be raised in the household of the Egyptian Pharaoh. It was an incredible story. We heard about Moses' exile, self-imposed exile to Midian, and then how at the age of 80 years old, he heard a call from God to go and lead his people out of Egypt and take them to the promised land. Over the past number of weeks, we've been walking with the Hebrew people as they took that Exodus journey. And we stopped to reflect on some of the kind of significant points along the way, when they went to the Red Sea, when there was time when they were thirsty or when they were hungry, or when they got Aaron to make a golden calf for them. 2 weeks ago, we heard the story about Moses climbing Mount Nebo. And if you were with us then, you remember me talking about how up on that mountain, Moses was able to kind of look back on the past journey and look ahead to the future journey of the people of Israel. Moses, at that point, was at the end of his journey. His people were on the verge of entering the promised land, but Moses wasn't going to go with them. Prior to climbing Mount Nebo, the leadership torch had already been passed from Moses to Joshua. And it would be Joshua who would actually lead the people as they made their entry into the promised land. Oh, it's been such a rich story. A story that has stretched roughly over some 600 years from Abraham's call while he was in the land of Haran to the people of Israel's entry into the promised land. It's a story which has spoken about a people who stumbled and fell. A story which has spoken about people whose faith seemed to waver from one day to the next as they made their journey from Egypt to Canaan. And yet it was a story so full of God's graciousness. Even though people were not always faithful, God was. God continued to walk with the people of Israel as they made their journey. And that brings us to our story today. We're now at the end of the book of Joshua. Our journey with the people of Israel, at least this part of that journey, is drawing to a close. The people did enter the promised land. Now, upon arrival, they weren't welcomed, really. But now they're in a place where peace abides around. This is what they've been waiting for. This is what they've been longing for through the years. A land of their own. A land that God had promised to their forefather Abraham. And now they resided in that land. And things were finally looking good for them. And so we come to chapter 24 of Joshua. The context here is Joshua is nearing the end of his life. As Moses was approaching his death as he climbed Mount Nebo, so Joshua is approaching his right here. But before Joshua leaves the people, before his days come to an end, he has some important words for the people of Israel. There are things that you just have to throw away. Joshua knows the urgency. He's aware of the danger. He knows that if things aren't dealt with now, it will spell disaster for the people in the future. As he prepares to leave his people, as he gets ready to say goodbye, he wants to do as much as he can to leave them in a good place. And so in verse 1, we hear the passage begin, and it says, "Then Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. He summoned the elders, the leaders, the judges, and the officials of Israel, and they presented themselves before God." And then we miss a few verses, and then as those people have gathered, Joshua continues by saying this, "Fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." Now, some people hearing this might think that Joshua shouldn't have to be afraid of anything, really. After all, God had been faithful. He had fulfilled his promise to the people of Israel. The people of Israel, they had all the proof they needed that God would come through for them, and that they really shouldn't be wavering from then on. But I think Joshua was aware of the condition that resides in the heart of people. That people tend to turn to God more when times are difficult, but not so much when things aren't. When I was doing my doctoral work, I remember doing some reading about the heightened religiosity and spirituality through history when different peaks along the way. And looking back, even over the last 120 years or so, we see a spike in church attendance during the First World War and the Second World War. 9/11 was similar. For a time at least, people were asking questions and people were searching for God. Although there's no research yet to back this up, I wonder if this might also have been the case back in March and April, near the start of this pandemic. You remember me talking about how it felt to me as though the ground was kind of shifting beneath my feet. I think other people felt the same thing as well. I know our experience was high numbers connected to our live stream worship. And speaking to colleagues, they experienced the very same thing, particularly in the first couple months. But then I've heard that many churches have experienced a shift, particularly in the summertime when numbers seem to be going down, May and June time. There weren't as many people who were as tuned in on a Sunday. Was that because people were starting to feel a little bit more secure that the pandemic was drawing to a close? It would be interesting to see how church attendance for live stream connection will be affected in the days to come as we see numbers increasing once again. I think Joshua was aware of the phenomenon that people turn to God when things are difficult, but they aren't as inclined to do so when things aren't so difficult. Even if you just focus on the 40-year journey of the people of Israel from Egypt to the Promised Land, we got to say that that was a pretty tumultuous journey. And while the people were not always faithful along that journey, I think Joshua was concerned how much easier it would be to wander once that tumultuous journey had ended. Would the people hold fast to their Lord? Or would they begin to forget him? Joshua knew that there were going to be many distractions. Not only was life going to be so much better now that they'd entered that promised land, the land of milk and honey, but now people were going to be exposed to a wide selection of other gods to choose from as well. Gods from among the people with whom they now shared the land. And not only that, but Joshua is aware that the people of Israel had also carried with them other gods in their journey to the promised land. The hearts of the people were divided. Now, granted, we've only heard one story of them worshiping another god when they got Aaron to make that golden calf. And even though they were called out for that and they did repent of it, their hearts were still not completely right when it came to their allegiance to the Lord. Even as far back as the people leaving Egypt, the hearts of the people were divided. Even as far back as the departure from Egypt, people carried with them some of the so-called gods of the Egyptians. Now, the gods may not have been physical ones like Aaron's golden calf, but still the allegiance of the people of Israel was not always focused on the Lord their God. Joshua was here calling for the renewing of the covenant, the one between Yahweh and the people that had been made back in the time of Abraham. That covenant needed to be renewed as God chose them. Now it was their turn to choose God. So listen to Joshua's words in verses 14 and 15. He says this, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." And then listen to what he says next. "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." I have to say, when I was thinking about this sermon earlier this week and thinking about the title, I struggled a bit because I didn't want to be flippant. And even though I told the story at the start of the sermon about the old jeans, I did hesitate. Sure, it was maybe have been a little bit humorous, but the story at the end of Joshua is so far from humorous. When Joshua said what he said to the people of Israel as he approached the end of his life, there wasn't a smile on his face or a twinkle in his eye. No, this was of utmost seriousness. The people, they'd been hedging their bets. They'd been holding on to gods like an insurance policy, just in case they might need to turn to those gods later. Joshua was calling them now to make a decision. Who were they going to serve? And it wasn't a multiple choice question with an all of the above option. The people had to come down on one side or the other. Who were they going to serve? You know, as I think about Joshua's question and the importance and the relevance it had among the people of his day, I realize how vitally important and relevant it is for us today. Not only as we live in the midst of a pandemic, but perhaps even more so when the pandemic becomes more of a distant memory. Each of us needs to wrestle with the question, who in fact is our God? Each of us has to wrestle with the false gods lurking in the back of the closet. Those gods that cause us sometimes to take our eyes off of Jesus. I believe we have to wrestle with what it means to serve the Lord and the implications that such a decision has on the way that we live our lives. Joshua wasn't calling the people of Israel to just have some warm feelings towards Yahweh. He wasn't just calling the people of Israel to be thinking nice thoughts about him either. Remember what Joshua said to the people in verse 14. Fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away all the other gods. As Joshua was calling for action back then, I believe God is calling for action from us today. It's one thing for us to feel close to God. It's one thing for us to be talking about faith and to say Jesus is our Lord. It's one thing to have warm feelings inside when Jesus comes to mind. But God isn't looking for mere sentiment. God is calling for us to be making a decision, and for the decision to be demonstrated in action. This is a call to steadfast obedience. This is a call to re-examine all our priorities and to do all the rearranging that's necessary. We can't assume that just because we're connected to this live stream today, this proves our priorities are all that they should be. We can't assume that just because we say some prayers on a day, that our relationship with Jesus is as strong as it could be. You and I have to make a decision, and we have to follow that decision with action to demonstrate in our lives, to demonstrate by the way that we live each day, that we have a relationship with Jesus. So I'm going to leave you with some questions today. First question is this: when it comes to your relationship with Jesus, in what way might God be calling you to clean out the closet? I want to really encourage you not to let yourself off the hook easily on this one. It could be easy to say, well, I just don't think there's anything that I can think of. But you know what? I think every single one of us, if we spend some time and if we ask God to reveal to us what needed to be revealed, I think every one of us could come up with something. So ask God that question. What is it that I need to be cleaning out of the closet? And keep on asking God that question. Second question is this: what does it mean to serve the Lord? And how are you currently, or how might you from now on, live that service daily? You know, one of the things that caught my attention in the last chapter of the book of Joshua, something that came just after our reading today, after Joshua challenged the people to make a decision about whom they would serve, and the people declared that it would be Yahweh, we were told that Joshua wrote that decision in the book of the law, and then he placed a large rock near a holy place. The covenant, it had been renewed. The covenant between God and the people, it had been renewed. Joshua knew that God would never forget that covenant. But he also knew that the people very well could. So he placed a large rock as a reminder to the people of the covenant made. Every time they would look at that rock, it would be a reminder to them of their decision that they had declared to follow, to serve, and to obey Yahweh their Lord. One more question. What might serve as an ongoing reminder to you that you have decided to serve the Lord? You know, many years ago, Joshua said, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." I believe God is saying now, okay, that was Joshua. Now, what about you? Let's bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your ongoing graciousness towards us. That even though we stumble and fall so many times, you continue to pour out your grace upon us. We thank you for the story of the people of Israel and how you journeyed with them. Lord, we pray that you will help us in our journey. We pray that you'll give us the courage to look deep into the closet and see what needs to be cleaned out. Lord, help us to know and to understand what it means to have you as our Lord, and give us the strength to live that each day. We ask these things in Jesus' name.